spirituality. Why not give yourself a chance to learn free of charge? To learn more, please visit our website at falandafafellowship.com.
You're listening to Carving Space, an Indigenous radio doc series.
We are broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded, and current lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. We are really grateful and privileged to be here on these lands, studying at a colonial institution that allows CITR to do the work that we do. Vanguizi, Autumn Chanel Vilji, Chief Jim Cooey, Janet Cooey, Jacqueline Cooey, Vivian Cooey, Shadeji. My name is Autumn Chanel. I am a member of Gwich'in First Nation. I was born and raised in Amaskwachi, Waskayagan, traditional lands of the Cree, Métis, Nakota Sioux, and Soto peoples. I'm really lucky and grateful to be studying here on Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh lands.
My names are Rachel Lau and Lau Hole. I'm a Han Chinese settler who was born and raised on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. I'm incredibly privileged and grateful as a settler to be able to live and work on these lands. As coordinators of this doc series, we had the pleasure of working with Indigenous and non-Indigenous students here at the University of British Columbia.
This project is funded by the Equity Enhancement Fund and created in collaboration with the UBC First Nations and Indigenous Studies Program and the Institute for Critical Indigenous Studies.
We produce these docs with the intention of centering Indigenous perspectives on feminism, poetry, student life, and health and wellness.
You might be listening to these docs on Stitcher, iTunes, CITR.ca, or live on CITR 101.9 FM. Docs from the Carving Space series will be released every Monday until May 14th.
For more info on the docs and the series, visit CITR.ca.
That this program is being recorded on the traditional and unceded territories of the Musqueam peoples.
Hello, thank you for listening. We are the Indigenous Leadership Collective here at UBC. We're a group of undergraduate students, varying degrees, varying year levels, and we are all Indigenous from varying backgrounds as well.
So we have five of our members here tonight, and we'll do a quick introduction to tell you who we are and where we come from.
So Maya and I will start it off. My name is Sage. I'm a third-year international relations student here at UBC, and my ancestral background, my father is Saw Ridge Cree, and my mother is English and Irish.
So I'm Maya. I'm Squamish and Ukrainian and Norwegian. I'm in my fourth year studying environment and sustainability and First Nations and Indigenous studies.
My name is Kyla. I am in my third year studying political science and First Nations Indigenous studies. I am part Ojibwe from Ontario and part Vuntut Gwich'in from the Yukon.
Hello, I'm Emily and I'm a third year anthropology student here at UBC. My ancestry is Inuk and a variety of European backgrounds and heritage.
I'm Tiana. I'm a second year student. I'm studying English Lit and First Nations and Indigenous Studies. I'm from Manitoba, and I am Ojibwe from both of my parents.
So the Indigenous Leadership Collective started out of Aboriginal Student Affairs and Arts Advising. Carlene Harvey and Maggie Moore realized that Indigenous students were coming to UBC campus with amazing leadership skills already. And as Indigenous students, we didn't have capacity and we didn't have space to really practice these skills. So as peer advisors, Sage and I have created a space for Indigenous students to come together and practice these leadership skills.
So one of the really great things about ILC, as it has come to be known, is that it has kind of evolved because of the group members. So even though we had this initial vision of leadership skills, it really, because of Maya's direction, we now get to spend time with each other, really engage conversations that we don't have space to otherwise. And it's really taken on a form of taking care of ourselves as Indigenous peoples and as students as well.
So to get the conversation started, we were thinking of maybe sharing our stories of why we came to UBC and what brought us here.
Hello, so it's Emily, and I'm going to talk a little bit about why I chose to come to UBC. So I had never actually applied to any other school outside of the University of British Columbia, and I think, funny enough, what really brought me here was I came on a class trip when I was about 13, and from that day forward, I'd set it as a goal to eventually make it here, and I really should have applied to other schools as a backup, but I did make it in here, and I think it was meant to be, and I've been happy to be here ever since.
So it's Sage, and like Emily, I also only applied to UBC. I'm sure you're familiar with that kind of anxiety towards the end of grade 12 of applying to colleges and everyone's asking you what you're going to do. So I just kind of applied to UBC, and I had actually visited as well and really thought it was a beautiful campus. But the more I got to spend time here, I realized how, maybe not right up front, but subconsciously I was aware of the Indigenous presence at UBC, and it was something that I was really craving to experience. So I think it did bring me here in some capacity.
So it's Maya, and I decided to come to UBC because of how close it is to home. It's probably only an hour drive, and I get to visit my family a lot, which is really awesome. And also, it's just a really beautiful campus. I grew up in the outdoors, and UBC, it's a good mix between a city and being so close to the mountains and the ocean. And so that's a huge reason why I came here. UBC is close to home for me, which I know is not the same for you, Tiana, and Kyla, if you guys want to talk about why you guys came here.
It's Tiana. I came to UBC because it's so far from Manitoba and I wanted to be able to grow on my own as a person opposed to being with my family.
So just like Tiana, I'm far from home and I'm from the north where a lot of Indigenous youth are not as motivated to leave the town after high school. So I thought by taking that step, I'd also be a role model for other Indigenous youth within the community and within the north to show that stepping out of your comfort zone and leaving the north will in the end bring a better outcome for the rest of the community.
So something we've been talking about as a group and as a collective was coming to UBC in our first year.
Yeah, so applying to UBC is one thing, getting into UBC is one thing, but actually coming here and experiencing that first year, it's a once in a lifetime kind of a
it's
thing.
A whole nother thing.
Yeah. So yeah, and that's obviously made a little bit more complicated coming with Indigenous ancestry and kind of trying to navigate our own identities as young Aboriginal people, but also young students as well. So I actually had a kind of a different experience. For me, I'm actually quite mixed. Growing up, I was really struggling with, I guess to use kind of a crude phrase, but not being Indigenous enough, and you can't see it, but I'm doing a little bit of an air quote. Coming to UBC, there's obviously a large focus on Musqueam culture, which I think is awesome, but coming in with different ancestry and also not growing up with my ancestry, I came to UBC and was kind of, it was really daunting to have to insert myself into someone else's culture and someone else's land and assert myself as an Indigenous person. Part of me wishes that I had been a little bit more open, but it's been a good learning experience.
In some ways, I can really understand where Sage is coming from. My first year coming to UBC was profoundly lonely in a lot of ways, especially as an Indigenous student and not really being sure where to reach out and find an Indigenous community. As an Indigenous person, I grew up outside of my own Indigenous community. I am thousands and thousands of miles away from ancestral territory now and during my childhood. But something that I did have growing up, my father is actually an Inuit artist. So in some ways, I was really surrounded by my culture all the time during my childhood. But I was in this sort of duality where I was also in this really predominantly white community and I wasn't within my own cultural community at the same time. So I think coming to UBC and then suddenly feeling totally on my own culturally, I wondered where I could find this sort of cultural connection, this cultural community. And I think originally I was pretty narrow about it and I was looking specifically for like, oh, I need to find an Inuit community. But you're not going to find that in Vancouver and you're not going to find that at UBC. And I think it took me a couple years actually to get comfortable with stepping into just finding a community with other Indigenous students. Because despite the fact that we are all coming from different backgrounds, experiences and nations, we do have a lot of experience in common.
I'm Tiana. I just want to say my first year, I felt very lost in the beginning because it was the first time I've ever lived away from home, ever moved like anywhere. So coming to Vancouver from Manitoba was a very big distance. And I also came at 16, so that was very different. But I learned how to create my own community wherever I went from growing up in a smaller town. But this year, like Emily and Sage have said, is the first year that I've actually interacted with other Indigenous students besides in my First Nations Indigenous Studies class in first year.
It's Kyla. I also wanted to point on the fact that UBC is such a huge community with so many students. And coming from the north, the population of UBC is larger than the population of all of NWT. So going from a small community, a small family, to a big community, and I had no idea what I was getting into, but it was also really great because coming to UBC is when I started to embrace my culture, like recognize the ways in which that I can help in so many different ways by going to either like the marches in Vancouver or like standing up with other Indigenous students on things I believe in. But it's a really great community where you can all build together and find a place where you can create something with your life.
Very similar to Sage, I also didn't grow up with my culture, but I'm very humbled by UBC in that I was given space to explore my culture. So I didn't actually start going to the Longhouse until around my third year. I felt uncomfortable and I didn't know, much like Sage, if I was Indigenous enough to be comfortable in the Longhouse. And so I kind of avoided it for the first couple of years. But UBC has really given me the space and the time to explore who I am. And I've gone to do that through projects, which is a really cool idea because now I'm getting credits and I'm getting my schooling done by exploring more of my roots and who I am and my ancestors, and that's a really amazing experience that I'm not sure a lot of students get through university, so it's really special.
Yeah, and something I just wanted to add to that, it is difficult to try and branch out into Indigenous community on campus, especially if with that feeling of not being Indigenous enough, as I know for myself, I'm quite white passing. There's an element of anxiety around that, so I totally see where you're coming from, Maya.
Like Maya was saying, I was not comfortable practicing my culture 100%. I was, like Kyla was saying, really looking for community where I could belong. And just like Emily said, I think I found that with finding other Indigenous students, especially through ILC. I also work in the FNIS department, and just taking the opportunity to surround myself with other Indigenous people really took a weight off of my back, because I realized how different each Indigenous person is and how many opportunities there are to just talk about the shared experiences, but also really respect and acknowledge the differences and the beauty in all of our different backgrounds.
And learning more about each other's cultures is really awesome too, and it's been really fun with ILC learning more about each other and where we come from.
I think it's also been a really cool experience learning about other cultures in the area as well. I know I'm quite far away from my ancestral territory as well, but I've been really blessed to learn about the Haida and the Musqueam people, and I think that I was just as disconnected from the cultures that I grew up around, just as disconnected as my own culture as well. And I think like learning through school has been really, really cool.
Speaking of going to school and learning about our cultures and each other's cultures, I think it's weird that we have to go to a colonial space in order to learn about Indigenous cultures.
Yeah, and I understand that, Tiana, because I was saying in conversation earlier how I sometimes get nervous that I feel like I'm learning a lot about my own culture, but through really colonial sources. Like I might be writing a paper about my ancestral community and my ancestral territory, but it's still being done through the means of reading a paper that was written by someone not from the community, might have been from a university somewhere in the States or in Europe. So I understand that completely.
I think you can also think about it in kind of a resistance and reclaiming space, though. When you think about UBC, you can think about the Musqueam people being dispossessed and displaced of this land. And in a way, as Indigenous students here on this campus, we're reclaiming that space and giving back to the communities and giving back to our people in a way that we see ourselves making that impact. But we're also using this colonial space as a platform to create more opportunities for our people and for our communities to really come back to that even playing field. And this is one way that we can do that.
So building off the other points, I also wanted to point out a personal experience within a First Nations and Indigenous Studies course where I had to adjust to learning from a non-Indigenous prof, which was not necessarily a bad thing, but it also gave me a motivation to want to finish my degree and later on be that one teaching other students and other communities about our people. And
I think a huge reason why we're all here is building that capacity in our communities, whether it's in an institution or in a classroom. We are building that capacity to be teaching our own people in our own ways and in our own languages and in our own frameworks.
I think also like being comfortable with bringing the Indigenous perspective into all aspects of life and different careers, and I think our people are so capable, and I think that bringing perspective and Indigenous identity into any, whether it's an institution like this one, whether it's within our own communities, if it's like youth building, we are so capable as people, and we bring such a unique perspective that I think is necessary in all walks of life and all areas of careers. I don't know. Study.
Yeah, going off what Sage said, kind of an anecdote from my own life, I guess. A couple years ago, I went with my mother to a talk that was being given, actually like not far from our hometown, by a prof she had during her own undergraduate career and who she'd worked with quite closely. And this professor had gone on to do research up in Greenland. And so my mother, who is the non-Indigenous side of my family, when she went up to the professor professor and he remembered her. He introduced me as, oh, this is Emily and she's a Greenlander. And he asked, oh, how did you two meet? And she said, she's my daughter, you know. I mentioned to him how I was really interested in conducting my own research and I was studying anthropology, and he said, oh yeah, well, it's time for people like you to start doing the work now. And so I think that was really interesting. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I think like there's ways that like maybe, I don't know if I'll go down a research path, but there's that I've sort of had this mission, I guess. Like I've ended up in a lot of colonial spaces kind of by accident. Oh. I have worked in the church in a secular manner. I've worked in the Canadian government, actually in Indigenous affairs, and I have attended a colonial university. And at first I was sort of like confused and conflicted about why I keep ending up in these spaces. But I think it's because I'm coming in now and others like me are coming in and we are decolonizing these spaces just based on our presence and our work, our perspectives and our words.
Something I've been reflecting on in and outside of the classroom is being accountable and responsible for the knowledge that we're receiving. And I think knowledge should be shared, but in this institution, I find my education here can be very rooted in competitiveness, which isn't as natural as I feel like my education should be. A lot of the time, I know that my success is interdependent on other successes, and so it's so important for us as students to be lifting each other up, but it's hard when some students don't understand how accountable they are to the knowledge that they're getting. And I'm just curious how you guys feel about this and how you guys come about learning your knowledge and sharing it with your community and sharing it with your peers and your friends.
I mean, right now we're in paper season and midterm season, so competition is rampant around here. Yeah, it's interesting to be in an institution that is, you know, it just, sometimes it feels just like one step in a long line of steps towards, you know, this idea of what a career will look like and what a life will look like. And I think especially as an Indigenous student, I'm constantly critiquing that because I know that that's not the way that it has to be and that there are people that are actively working to change that perspective.
I think as students and as Indigenous students, you're always going to question why you're here, whether it's after those long study nights or after you just bombed that midterm, you're always going to question why you're here. And that's when you can really take the time to figure it out. And as a lot of us were saying, like, we're some of the first generation to be in university, so it's hard for our families to understand why it's hard to stay here, but why we also feel the need to finish, because we do feel the need to graduate and to get that degree.
Yeah, it can be pretty hard to be surrounded by students that maybe aren't as aware of where we're studying and the history. Especially, I mean, I'm an international relations student, so I really love learning from different perspectives and different global perspectives. And that can come with a lot of really interesting perspectives from other, like, Indigenous cultures around the world. But it can also come with, not ignorance, but maybe a lack of understanding of Canadian history. So I think it's just motivated me a little bit more to be able to speak up for Indigenous history in Canada, and yeah, and kind of owning my own, I don't know, experience a little bit and kind of pushing back against that, taking those bad grades as a learning experience, because we made it, like, that's that's the whole point.
And also, I guess it's so important that we all bring our own unique perspectives into the classroom, and that's what we've touched on before, how important it is to be bringing our own perspectives into a classroom, because sometimes we are the only Indigenous students there and we are asked to talk on behalf of all Indigenous peoples, and that's daunting. And I feel like being at a university, we're given this platform for other people to really hear our voices, and it's kind of a platform that echoes into their parts of the world that our voices probably would not get to if we didn't have this platform to speak from. And that's really important to think of when you are doing these studies. And
yeah, I know in my first year, I had a Canadian politics class. It became kind of habit for me to say, like, oh, and I'm Indigenous, and like, because I was really proud, but I don't think I, you know, when the TA would look at me and say, like, oh, and obviously you're Indigenous, and like, not to tokenize you, but what do you think about this? And I was really taken aback because I thought it was both important that I share my perspective, but I also felt like I wasn't confident in my own identity as an individual Indigenous person, and definitely not to the degree to speak for all Indigenous people. But I think something that Maya said, owning your own perspective and being able to bring who you are as an individual and as a unique Indigenous person, is so important. And I started to realize that I didn't need to represent everyone. I just had to represent myself and all of my interests and backgrounds and things that make me unique. I think just being able to own, like, my own individual identity, and I think, like, exploring that that in the classroom. I know a lot of us have had kind of experiences of researching our own cultures or our own identity, and that's been really helpful, not only like the social aspect of ILC, but...
I think that something that comes from spending a lot of time as an Indigenous person, or especially as a mixed Indigenous person in these really colonial spaces, is this tendency to want to draw ourselves into boxes. Well, not wanting to, but feeling like we're supposed to, you know? We have boxes and lines drawn around us in a legislative way, you know? It's all about your blood quantum and your parentage, and it's all legislated. It's written into law, it's written into the act. I think, ironically, working in such a strongly and historically colonial institution such as Indigenous Affairs, and I had this aha moment where I realized I didn't want to be drawn into boxes anymore. I didn't want to have my identity drawn around me. So during my time there, I was doing historical research, and you read terrible things. You read about half-breeds and all kinds of words that were used to describe Indigenous people and people like myself who were from mixed backgrounds that didn't have a clear and coherent place in the world. And I think just getting tired of that and getting tired of those legislative boxes, those labels for people were what really made me just like, nope, this is who I am, this is my identity, and I am Indigenous enough. I have an Indigenous identity, but I also have a mixed ancestry identity, and that identity is fluid and dynamic, and it's multifaceted, and I don't have to be a single image of what somebody thinks a mixed person or an Indigenous person should be.
And I think that's what's been so awesome about finding this community on campus, because for a while I really felt alone in that department. I wasn't very open about my identity because I didn't know who I was, and I still don't know who I am. But I guess that's the beauty of being young and trying to figure it out, and I'm trying to do that through my studies and doing that on campus. But it's really nice having the support system of Indigenous people on campus, and that's really important to have here.
I think as complicated as finding your Indigenous identity in an institution is, I don't think that this journey would have been the same for me had I not been here. And I don't think a lot of what has made my connection to my culture so strong has been coming here kind of ready to fight and ready to represent my people and myself as well. Coming to UBC and being an Indigenous student at UBC was one of the best decisions I could have made.
So we just want to take this time to say thank you to everyone who's given us the space to talk and who's listened to us rant.
Yeah, so just wrapping up here, we really want this podcast to not only kind of give an indication of what we've gone through, but we also want it to reach other Indigenous students and other future UBC students. So we're just going to do a little wrap up and each say something, and hopefully it'll reach a couple of you out there. So I'll start it off. I think I covered it in my last little statement there, but I think one of the big things that I want other Indigenous students to realize is that this space is for them. And being at university is a scary time, and it's a tough time. But all those things that make it difficult and navigating different identities or mixes and question marks and all of that kind of stuff, it adds to the experience, if anything, and makes learning that much more challenging, but also that much more rewarding.
And I'm really with Sage on that, and I'm hoping that this does reach somebody, especially someone who is much like I was, which was a very, very lonely and lost first year. And I just want to add a few words of encouragement to the Indigenous first year students on campus. There is community for you, and you're not alone. And just because it might not be your specific nation where you come from, or your specific indigenous group or cultural group, it doesn't mean that we won't have experiences that are very much like yours. So Emily, signing off.
So really echoing what these two have already said, I really hope this does reach a larger audience, and there's some students that are able to connect with what we've said who maybe haven't been able to talk about it before, because that's what we've been doing as a group, is we've been talking about things that we've never gotten to talk about or we felt comfortable talking about before. But really knowing that there are people who feel the same as you and coming together, really do feel community. And another thing I hope to get my message across is to really connect with the land here. This is a really beautiful land, and I'm very humbled and grateful to be working on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam people, and I hope to give back to them in the way that they've given to me during my time here. So thank you.
So I would like to finish off podcast by saying I want the Indigenous people who are going to be coming to university or planning on attending university, that they feel like they can go farther than a local university or community college, and that they feel like they will be able to find a community
no matter how far they are or how close they are to home. Finding this community on UBC has really helped me to explore who I am as an Indigenous person, as well as thing to let future Indigenous people explore who they are and let them be comfortable on campus as I have. So thank you.
So for me personally, I would like this podcast to reach out to those Indigenous from like isolated and small communities, more specifically in the north, where you don't find that motivation or the courage to leave your comfort zone or where you feel safe. But no matter how small you might feel coming into these bigger environments, you need to realize that your voices do matter and that finding your Indigenous identity is not only going to help you as a person, but it's also going to help you build your community.
So we just want to end off this podcast in a good way and thank everyone who has supported us on our journey to university and supported us while we're here and who will be supporting us after we leave this place.
And also a big thank you to CITR, who has given us a space to raise our voices in a different capacity, as well as ASA and everyone who's helped get ILC off the ground. So thank you, Haichka.
Masicho.
Thank you.
Haichka.
Heard a documentary from Carving Space, an Indigenous radio doc series.
If you like what you heard, feel free to visit CITR.ca for more info.
Or tune in every Monday at 11 a.m. until May 14th for docs in this series. I'm Rachel Lau.
And I'm Autumn Schnell. Thank you for listening.
Bazet.
Masicho.